Okay, so we're on Sanhedrin $9, new sugya, the sugya of Kiddush Hashem. I guess you could say like the big three, that whole sugya about the fact that you give your life for the big three. So it's Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. I guess it starts at basically halfway down the page, pretty much halfway down the page. Amar of Yochanan. Mishum, I think. Oh yeah. It's clear already. It's good. Amar of Yochanan Mishum Mishum Yotzadak. Nimnu v'gamru. Balias Beis Nitza B'lod. Okay, so they voted in the attic of Beit Nitzan in Lod, whatever. Kol averus b'Torah. Any averus, all averus in the Torah. Im omrim la'adam, avar ve'al teharig. If they say to a person, violate this avera, and we won't kill you. Ya'avar ve'al teharig. So you should violate it, and don't get killed. Chutz me'aver d'zara, gilo rayas v'shichas damim. Besides, about Zara, like a sexual, like Gilei Raos, and Shvichas Damim, and murder. Okay? Okay? Classic, right? I'm sure you've all heard this a thousand times, right? Okay, so Rashi, Nitzav Elod, Yavar, Shem HaYesh, that's fine. Yavar Val Yarek, V'chai Bohem, V'lo Shiyomis Bohem, V'chsev, right? Because it says, the chaybam, you should live by the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs were given to live by them, right? Not to die by them. They're a method, a system of living, not a system of dying, right? So no, I doubt.
So
Okay.
what are they voting on? Isn't this Doraisa?
Don't know what they're voting on. Yeah, I guess it's Deraisa. Presumably it's Deraisa. But I guess they're voting that, I don't know. I guess they're poskening. They're possibly based upon an assessment of whatever. I mean, why are they doing that? I don't know. Maybe it was a time of Shmad. Something, and they were trying to come up with a clear psak. Here, I'm looking at the footnote. They say that the Doros Rishonim, I don't know who that is. He says this gathering was in times of peace after the Chorban, when the Gezeiros of the Shmad, the general Gezeiros of the Shmad stopped. As opposed to Maskilim, who said that it was during the Shas HaShemad. Okay, but he says no, it was in a time of peace. But there still happened that sometimes a guy, a singular guy, would force a Jew to do an Avera. Right? And Chacham were seeking out to find the Pasuk in this halacha. It was just a case basically where things were relatively stable, but there were still isolated incidents where individuals, Gaiish individuals, would force the Jews, and they wanted to basically have a standard sock for everybody to know, right? I mean, this can be in times of times where we're subordinate to the nations. It's important for everybody to know, to make a clear consensus. What's you want everyone to know? What's the psak? This is the type of a thing that could come up, and you're not exactly in a case where you could ask a shaila. And you want to know the answer. You don't want to needlessly give up your life. But you don't want to violate the Avera when you're supposed to give up your life, you know? So it's like, we don't really know the ins and outs of these fakiros because it's not our world, fortunately, right? But if this is your world, you want this to be on the tip of everyone's tongue. You want everyone to know the clear straight halacha. So they got all the poskim, all the rabbanim up in this attic, and they took a vote, and they came to this conclusion. This is the psak. Okay?
Yeah, I guess it's also a change then, if it's
Exactly. That's what I think he's saying, right? And as we'll see later, is in a time of persecution, the halacha is different. You give up your life for everything, basically. But this seems to be that this, whoever this is, the Doros Rishon is saying, this is not a time of persecution. And it's not a time of persecution, things are more lenient. You don't give up your life for everything. So, given that this is a transition, it's a new time, so they have to set up new halachas. Right? Yeah, definitely. Forever, but in the time of Shmad, we'll get to this, in the time of persecution, you give up your life for any mitzvah. So again, it's not like our entire history prior to this was in times of Shmad, but it sounds like they're claiming the immediate history before this was the time of Shmad, in which case everyone is giving up lives for everything. And now they're entering, or it's the beginning of like a new era where things are relatively peaceful. But there are still incidents where individuals are doing this. So now they had to establish a fixed halacha, right? Okay, I mean, it's I don't know if there's any clear proof. It says in the back there's some proofs how he knows this is the case, but whatever. I mean, this is just the historical background. I mean, the halacha is the same nonetheless. The Gemara asks, okay, this is going to shock you. This is going to shock you, this question. The Gemara says, "Be'avodas kochavim lo." Is it really true that you don't worship Avodah Zarah when a guy puts a gun to your head? Is that really true that you don't do that? V'atanya. But we learned in a braisa, Amar Rav Yishmael, Minayim Shem Amru Lo La'adam, Avodah V'atzkochav M'v'ati Harek. How do you know that if a person tells you, they'll worship this idol, this Avodah Zarah, and don't get killed, Minayim Sheyavod V'lo Yorek. How do you know that you should serve it and don't get killed? Tamen lomer v'chayban v'lo shiyamos ban. Right? V'chayban. You should live by these mitzvahs. So again, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, you do worship the idol to save your life. Yachol afil b'far hasya. Rabbi Shmuel continues, I might think even if it's in public, you do the same thing. Tamen lomer v'lo sechalu ashem kachi. You should not profane my sanctified name, and you should sanctify it. Right? Rashi. Before Hesi, like come on first conference. So later I was going to explain what does it mean for Hesi, how many people is public. When it's in public, there's a chil Hashem. And then you have to do Kiddush Hashem. That's what it means, Vinikdashi. You should sanctify my name, Shemoser Nasho Alavas Yotzra. That you give your life because of your love of your Creator. So that's only in public. You're sanctifying his name. When it's in private, apparently you're not doing that. So then when you're in private, given that you don't have this Vinikdashi, or the Tchil Hashem and the Skiddush Hashem, then you just have the Isra of Avodah Zarah. And that, you say v'chaybam. Right? Say v'chaybam. So how could they vote in this attic of base or whatever? I mean, it's a belug that the big three, you give up your life. But we have a braisa from Rabbi Shmuel that you don't give up your life for Avodah Zarah. That you bow down, assuming it's in public, private. Right? So the Gemara answers, in who da amor kareva lazar. They hold, the ones who are in the attic, who said that you give up your life for Zohar, they don't hold like the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, they hold like Kareva Lazar. Different Brisa. Right? The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Ahavta, Eis Hashem Elokecha, V'chol Avavcha, V'chol Nafshcha, V'chol Modecha. You should love Hashem, your God, with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your money. Let's say. If it already says you should love him with all your life, your soul, then why does it say with all your money? And if it says with all your money, which one is it? Which one's more? You should love him with all, just pick the maximum one, and say you should love him with all your life. Say, of course, all your money. Or if they say all your money, say, of course, all your life. So it says, some people love their body more than their money. So that's what it says, you have to love them with all your soul. It means you have to give up your life. And if you have another person who loves his money more than his life, therefore he has to give up all his life, not his money, to give up all his money. So it's like it specifically said, different people have different things. Some people would rather go to the grave and to not give up their money. I would ignore their money. Whatever. That's a different question. I guess they'll think they'll bring it to the grave, whether kids or whatever. Okay. Yeah. So that was the point. So the point is, it's saying that you have to love Hashem with all your soul means you have to give up your soul for Ahavas Hashem. Rashi. That you shouldn't swap your love of Hashem with Avodah Zarah, even if it means your life. The Kach Ne'emar, therefore it says, your love of God should be more beloved to you than anything, than everything else which is beloved to you. Okay? So that's basically, right. So since we have to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, showing you that you have to love Hashem more than your own life, then more than anything you love, even your own life. And therefore, not worshiping Avodah Zarah, not swapping your love of God for some other mother, some other idol, whatever, false god, is so important that you have to even give your life for it. So this is Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that you have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. And then they voted in the attic in Lod. This is what they held. They embraced the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And they rejected the position. They outvoted, they voted down the position of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that you don't have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. Right? In private.
Question on that, Drasha?
Shocking, no? So, like, on the one hand, you could say everything comes under Avodah Hashem. Taking lulav is because I love Hashem, I take lulav. But you see, the Torah says there's already a limit of a chayba, that you live by the mitzvah, so you don't die by them. So it means you don't have to give up your life, even though you love Hashem, and you take lulav because you love Hashem, but within Hashem's system, he says you should live by it, and you don't have to take lulav to give up your life. But when it says v'hafta eis Hashem l'kach, the Rashi is saying v'hafta, love Hashem, mashma, he's saying the plain meaning of loving Hashem. Like everything could be subsumed under loving Hashem in some indirect way. But he's saying, mashma, what does it mean that you shouldn't swap him for Avodah Zarah? If you love Hashem, you love your wife, means you're not going to give her up for another one.
It means the two most literal verses of service. Either you're...
Right. Your love of Hashem is so strong that you simply can't,
right,
can't swap him for someone.
One that's a direct swap.
Not... Right, so that doesn't mean love Hashem with all your soul. It means your love him is so much so that you simply can't live without him. Right? Like a person loves his wife so much, he simply can't live without him. He can't go to someone else no matter what. If he's going to have to go to some other woman, he might as well die. It's like that type of thing. Your love of Hashem is such that that's it. It's non-negotiable. So I guess, I don't know, Rabbi Shmuel's not being dorish to this pasuk in that way. I don't know exactly what he's going to say to this pasuk, but he's saying... He has a different point. V'chaibahem, I mean, this we have to understand, the machlokas. But he holds V'chaibahem applies, apparently, even here. What do you do with this pasuk? I don't know. No, it doesn't quite take the word, doesn't take that up. But did you guys know about this, Rabbi Shmuel?
Okay, no, like, it's not just mutter, it'll be us.
So, I don't know, to me, this was surprising. You know, to me, it's like, you know, I don't know, since I was a kid, I was always Tyrone, it's the big three. Big three, you go to your life, the big three. You know? But, and it is true, it is a halacha. But it just, I never realized. It's like, I don't know, it's like one of these things that's like, you know, Aleph Beis kind of thing which you learn from when you're a kid. But,
well, second one,
this, I do.
Mariah's,
and murder.
Oh, murder.
Right. So, to me, it was surprising to see that it's actually Machlokes Tanaim. Like, again, we do hold this way, but still, you know. So I think we should try to do is to try to understand that. It's interesting is that even Rabbi Shmuel agrees if it's in public, because then it says, let's just leave it. Lo sechalu Hashem kochi. Don't profane my name, Nikdashti, and you should sanctify my name. That apparently in public, he's saying that partakes of Lo Hashem kochi. But if it's in private, apparently that's not the Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem issue. That's the Avas Hashem, the Ahavta Eis Hashem L'kecha issue. Right? That's the way it seems to be saying up, you know? And that Avas Hashem thing is Rabbi Eliezer's idea, that you have to give up your life for the Avas Hashem thing. But Rabbi Shmuel doesn't seem to have that. Therefore, he only has this, Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem thing. But I mean, I'm just again, these are just words. We have to understand, you know, the concepts involved in the machlokas. Yeah, so because Benji's saying is, why is it violate Avos Hashem? Saying, look, I don't really believe what I'm doing. I'm just bowing down because the guy's saying bow down. Obviously, I know it's fake. I'm just doing it to satisfy this guy, stupid thing. Save my life. Right? But I don't really believe in it. So why is that? Why is that Avas Hashem? Right? I'm not really swapping God for another God. I'm just faking it out. Right? Like, look, it's a good question. It's according to Rabbi Yishmael. I don't know if you could ask a shayla like this, but like according to Rabbi Yishmael, let's say the guy is saying if you have to actually believe in Avodah Zarah and worship it internally, right? Or I'm going to kill you, right? And he somehow has a way to monitor that. You know, he's going to give you a lie detector test, whatever, you know? Is then would Rabbi Yishmael agree? That I'm sorry, agree that you have to give up your life? And he's just saying, you don't have to give up your life to bow, but to actually literally, you know, believe in the thing and become an idolater.
That's like a separate thing, right? That's just the new.
Okay, yeah, so I think I would agree with that. And maybe that's what he'll learn about this. I mean, Rabbi Shmuel could be able to agree if your mom is going to become an idolater. You can't say, listen, I'm an idolater because otherwise I'm going to die. Well, you can't become an idolater. You have to let your love of Hashem. You can't mamish exchange and believe in some other God because this is the only way to live. Of course you do that. But the question here, just to limit the machlokas, I guess, is an action of bowing down to an idol. Right? An action of bowing down to an idol. That, Rabbi Yishmael is saying, is do it. Save your life, b'chaibahem, bow down to the idol. You don't believe it. You go home and you wash out your mouth or whatever it is. And you totally, you know, it's not you, right? And Rabbi Eliezer is saying it's tough break. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you believe it, you don't believe it. It's definitely the Isser of Avodah Zarah, even if you don't believe it. I mean, you're violating. Bowing down to an idol doesn't only mean don't bow down if you believe it. Right. You're not allowed to bow down to an idol anyways. I mean, everyone agrees. If you're not being forced, you're just doing it just for fun. I mean, it's definitely still Isser. But the question is do you have to give up your life? Right, Rabbi Elazar is holding you have to give up your life to not bow down to that idol. Rabbi Shmuel is going to say, no, you don't have to do that. Now, but again, I'm saying, I would think, Chizki is right, I agree with him, that even Rabbi Shmuel is going to agree if your mom is going to, if it's not just bowing down, but it becomes like you have to really become a believer, if it's Louis Tzurik creates such a case, then of course you'd say, okay, so Benji's saying, something like this, is that everyone agrees with, I guess, the logic of how could you not? It's Shema, right? Everyone agrees your love of Hashem has to take priority over everything else. Hashem. Hashem. What's more important, your life or your love of Hashem? Your love of Hashem, right? Yeah, that is your life. That's your ultimate life, right? And that's why I was saying everyone would agree you're not going to actually become an idolater. If you're saying that's your choice, to be an idolater, to be an apikoros, to be whatever, or to live, it's you choose the death. Die as an Oved Hashem, as an Oved Hashem, and don't live as an idolater. That's not the question. The question here is that the Avas Hashem becomes, there's like the internal reality of the person's love of Hashem, his commitment to Hashem as opposed to any other force, power, or anything like that. And then there's the particular Maisa Mitzvah, or Vera that is, which is an expression of Yavas Hashem, which is you don't worship other gods. Worshiping other gods is like an action which expresses the denial of Hashem and acceptance of another god, right? Now, of course, it's the paradigm form of Avodah Zarah is you believe in it. That's typically, you know, 99 whatever percent of the people who do it, they do it because they believe in it. That's what you do. You worship a God because you believe in it. I don't know numbers, but whatever. But the Isser, halachically, the Isser is a halacha. And halacha, like most halachas, it doesn't differentiate what you're thinking, right? The mitzvah or the isser of Avodah Zarah doesn't get into the guy's mind and says you're not allowed to worship it if you believe it. But if you don't believe it, that's okay. It doesn't do that. Isser is the isser, right? So
the definition of what is art, is it in your belief or is it just an act?
Yeah, it's an act. I'm saying it is an action. Yeah, it's an action. Of course, again, the that's the thing about Benjamin, the philosophical of Zara, so to speak, is the belief system. And if a guy is bowing down to an idol that he doesn't believe in, someone's forcing him to, he's not philosophically an idolater, but he's halachically an idolater. And halachically, he's doing the Vaisa Zara, right? He's just not philosophically an idolater because he doesn't really believe in the whole thing. He really believes in Hashem. But in terms of, like, halachically, he's violating idolatry, right? Which is the mitzvah which expresses, or the aver, which expresses the lack of Avas Hashem. You're swapping your commitment to God for your commitment to this other God, to this idol.
Right.
So the question is definitely the philosophical of Avodah Zarah, definitely,
for sure, problem.
For sure, you have to give up your life for that.
Right.
But what about the mitzvah, the halachification, the mitzvification of Avas Hashem? Namely, don't worship another idol. Don't worship another god. Do you say that is just a mitzvah? Like all mitzvahs, the system of mitzvahs is v'chaybahem. Right? The system of mitzvahs is v'chaybahem.
Right.
You live. It's a system of living. So now you're dealing with like the halachic system of idolatry. You're not dealing with the philosophy of idolatry. You're dealing with the mitzvah, the halachification of idolatry.
Yeah.
In the system, it doesn't get into the guy's head. Halachification, that's just a technical formulation of the mitzvah. Mitzvahs, v'chaybahem. It's a system of chayim, not a system of dying. So your commitment to the halachic system doesn't demand that you give up your life. The philosophy, your commitment to God internally, of course that does, but not the halachic system. But that's Rabbi Yishmael's position. But Rabbi Eliezer says that no, that it's true in all other mitzvahs, that's the case, or whatever. In general, almost all of the mitzvahs, that's the case. But since this mitzvah is the mitzvah, which embodies your Avas Hashem directly, saying, I love Hashem and no other, and I want to worship Hashem and no other. So that mitzvah becomes, when it says, that mitzvah takes on the chomer, seriousness of the Zara. And it trumps even your own life.
Right.
Whereas definitely the philosophical of Zara definitely does. All other mitzvahs in the Torah definitely don't.
Right.
What about the halachification of this Avodah Zarah? You say that since it's really just the way halacha concretizes Avas Hashem, and Avas Hashem demands you give up your life, this also does? Or do you say that no, it's true, it's a halachification of Hashem, but it's the halachification. And halacha is this the formalized system, and the system, you don't have to give up your life for the system, you have to give up your life for the commitment to the underlying belief of the system, but not for the formality of it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Haftarah Shem Kach is teaching you that this mitzvah, actually, the formalized mitzvah of Avas Hashem and denying of Zara, has the chumrah of giving up your life. But Rabbi Shmuel is saying, no, that's just, it's like all the mitzvahs. It's no different than all the mitzvahs in terms of its formalism. So that's a question. There's, I think, a philosophical question. But it's like, why do you have to give up your life for it? Just for the technicality? So I think the answer to that, I won't give a share about this. That's like called like two times of Zara or something like that. But I mean, this is the, this is a little bit what Fiske is getting at also, which is that the Torah has no concessions for Avodah Zarah. And that is, like the Rambam talks about, the slippery slope of Avodah Zarah. And he started out by bowing down to the stars because that's what God wants. It's a method of relating to Hashem, because you think Hashem would want you to worship this thing because he created it and gave it power. And 10 generations later, the whole world didn't even know about Hashem, and Avodah Zarah to rediscover it. And the idea is that, in a nutshell, is that Avodah Zarah is addictive, if you will.
Yeah.
It's attractive because emotionally it's very hard to relate to God, who's not physical. and not pleasing to you on an emotional level. And the moment you give any sway to that physical way to relate to God or to worship Him in a physical way,
right,
you draw the person into down a path, which is a slippery slope towards a bazaar.
You deify the embodiment of the concept,
right,
instead of the concept,
yeah,
of mind.
Right. And therefore the Torah took a hard stand and says there's simply no room for a bazaar, period. And the moment you have any opening and say, okay, in this situation, it's okay. So it's true, it's the halachification of it, but there's a reason like why it's halachified that way,
right,
which is like the Torah doesn't have any concession because it's part of your love of Hashem. It's like, I don't know, the person who loves his wife would probably have a hard time sleeping with another woman, even if he's being forced.
And he would have a hard time accepting if she was forced.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just, right. It's just like the, I don't know, let's say that case, yeah. The guy is a wife, is a husband, so his wife wants to sleep with another man because of a gunpoint, but he's right, a handsome man and he's an attractive man and whatever. And the husband will be nervous or whatever. It's like it has an effect on the person. The action itself has an effect on the person.
Right.
So saying is like this, but this is an effect on the world. It's just like the way the Torah maintains its distance from Avodah Zarah in the world is by saying no ifs, ands, or buts. Simply, this is a line that cannot be crossed. Ah, you don't believe it? Next thing you know, you're going to believe it. Someone else is going to believe it. It just, there's, it's like you can't have any all, it's like you have to deny your love of Hashem. Is like it's just Shalot Mirenu. You simply don't swap him for anybody else. You don't do an action of swapping for anybody else. You go at all costs to avoid that, even if it means your life. So you don't actually believe it, but we're committed to perpetuating a system which ensures the maintenance of the distance from Zara, Doradoros. And that's the way the system is maintained.
I think that seems a bit easier to understand it.
And the protection of the love of Hashem. That's why it's good. It's like it's a positive, right? You love Hashem. You love Hashem is you have to protect His name and His reputation and His, you know, His commitment to Him, even with your own life, right? Even for yourself,
right?
It's just that the nature of your love is that you don't swap it. Now, again, this is a philosophical thing, and you know, you could argue, Rabbi Shmuel could argue. I don't know if that they're having a philosophical. I don't really know exactly, but
yeah,
saying is like it's not. My point is not just to say, oh, you don't really believe it. Who cares? It's not just a technical halachic formalism.
Right.
It's part of the whole concept of what the Zohar is, that the Torah has to answer. But nevertheless, when you're actually doing it, you're not truly selling out.
Right.
So that's what Yishmael is going to say. Look, ultimately, you're not truly selling out. You're just an isolated action. But it's the system.
Right.
But the system is not just a technicality. That's my point.
Right.
It's not a mere technicality. I guess that's my answer to the question. Yeah. It's not a mere technicality. It's the mitzvification of Avodah Zarah is deep, and it's grounded in a whole way that it relates to Avodah Zarah. But it still doesn't mean the guy who does it is internally an idolater. But that's the question: is does this mitzvah take on the like a different level than all other mitzvahs because it runs to the core of the whole das, the core of what commitment to God is that we what maintains us is that. Like Avraham said, there's an Avraham knocked out the door. The Rambam says that he's the only God and lo roi lavo. He's the only one to the portion. That was like the Avraham. He discovered how it is that the whole world got this way because they made this concession. And therefore he broke all the idols and he said there's only one being to worship. So originally it made it sound like it's just like, that's not really a bazaar. It's just like, look, Allah doesn't recognize what you're thinking. So therefore it's like, whatever. That was, I think, Ken's question based upon. Like, really, Avodah Zarah is only a belief. But since Halacha is against your heart, so whatever. And then he's saying, come on, you're giving your life for that. But I guess I'm saying, no, the halachification is more than just that. It's not just the technicality that Torah doesn't do to go down to his heart. It's the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is part of the philosophy of Avodah Zarah. It's just that it's your preservation of Avas Hashem is through the fact that you don't worship. But okay, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that we're obligated to do that. And we do that in general. But does that mean that you can say still it's a mitzvah? It's the way the system is maintained is through the fact that we don't do it. And it's true. But the system is maintained through a lot of things. But v'chai b'hem is the way we relate to the system. We We give up, we break the system in order to save our lives. But do you say that this one mitzvah, because it's the Yesod, it's the mitzvah which embodies the foundation of the whole Torah, that the Torah singles it out and makes it distinct and says this part of the system you don't breach. So you don't breach it, even if it means your life. Goes without saying that we're not talking about the other two. Right? We're talking about like this is the only exception. But I mean, there are two other exceptions.
Right.
Which is what's our, you know, Gil Eshvastam.
Right.
So we're kind of ignoring that for now. Right. But
I was thinking about him a little bit because, again,
saying, like for Liutzor. Liutzor, there's a pill. Take a pill and you become an idolater. Right. And now your question is, do you give up your life or do you, and not take the pill or do you take the pill? So then I say, definitely give up your life. Because now your mom is becoming an idolater. And of course, you have to die as a maimon then to live as an idolater. Machlokas is really about the action, you know, not when you're actually an idolater. It's the maisa of doing avodah zarah.
Right.
And that's a machlokas, the halachification of avodah zarah. But your mom is talking about to be an idolater, of course, your love of Hashem takes precedence over halachah. I mean, he knows about Shema. It's just a question of, does that carry over to the mitzvah of avodah Hashem or of avodah zarah? That's the machlokas. But if you're actually being an idolater, then of course you're gonna have to give your life. Yeah. So what would you say though? So now even Rabbi Yishmael agrees that you have to give your life when it's in public, right? Because he says the Kiddush Hashem, right? What's his limud? It says Velo Sechalo Shem Kachiv Nikdashti. You can't profane the name of Hashem, and you have to sanctify, right? And Rashi says, right, before Hesia Yikachol Hashem, it's Ochel Kadesh Hashem, and that's Nikdashi, that you're Moser, you're Nefesh for the love of your Creator. So what's he agreeing to? Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main point. It's like our whole thing is, look, you don't really believe that. You're just doing an empty action. You could say that when you're alone.
Right.
But when there's a guy who is publicly making a statement and say, Jew, bow down to this idol and submit to Zeus, I don't know, whatever, it's like he's making a statement. It's not just what you internally believe. This is a statement. Yeah, he knows he's making a statement. The people around him know he's making a statement. And there's a public expression of the fact that Hashem is not as real as Zeus. So that's that you have to give up your life for. Right. The thing is, like, that's not just the shell of the Maisa of Avodah Zarah, you know, the formal mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, that's the expression to the world about Kiddush Hashem and avoiding Chilul Hashem.
Right.
So that definitely it's saying you have to give up your life for. That's what it means. That's how you're Mekadesh Hashem, is that you're stating to the world that this, he's making a public statement for you to choose Zeus as opposed to Hashem. And you're going to say, no, I'm going to choose Hashem as opposed to Zeus, and I don't care, I'm going to die. That's not our discussion. Our discussion where it's private. So it's private is not a statement as much as it's telling you to violate the Avera.
Right.
Now that's a good question. Is it a statement? But Farhesia is seemingly when it's considered Kiddush HaHashem. You could have argued even one person's Kiddush HaHashem. Rashi's learning, that's when it's Kiddush HaHashem. When it's Farhesia, that's public, that's a statement. When it's private, it's not a statement. Now it's just a matter is how committed are you to the Avera itself? Well, that's the machlokas. But when it's a matter of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, that's not the discussion. Right? Just like killing and whatever, killing has an effect in the world.
Right.
Doesn't undo the Kavanah. Well, Chilul Hashem also has an effect in the world. Undo the Kavanah. So they're not arguing about when you actually have the effect in the world of telling the world that Avodah Zarah is true and Avodah Hashem is fake. That you can't do. That's like killing. There's an effect. We're just talking about the formal Issa, where there's no statement, it's just your personal commitment to the Issa.
Yeah.
So does that stand up firm against even firmer than your life, or is it the same as all the other mitzvahs?